be patient. That when you're going through this suffering, that when you're going through this time when you're receiving opposition, that when you're going through this time when it seems like your life is being bombarded, whether it's with circumstances or people, that hold on.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Hold On, I'm Coming. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Hold On, I'm Coming.
In James chapter 5, James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth near. Murmur not against another. Brethren, lest ye be judged, behold, the judge stands before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy who endure. Have you not heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy? So as we look at this passage today, we're going to kind of take our text, we're going to take our theme from verse 8, where it says, be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws near. And we want to meditate on this thought this morning. Hold on, I'm coming. Hold on, I'm coming. Amen. Hold on, I'm coming. I want to give you a little test this morning. And this is what I call the impatience test. And we're going to look at a couple of characters in the Bible and see if you can guess. If you're a Bible student, you should know the answer to these questions, all right, or not, or the answer to these statements. God promised my wife and I a son. When we did not get him in our time, we got impatient and took the situation into our own hands. Abraham, all right. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah. I was told to wait for the man of God to come and offer a sacrifice. But when I saw the enemy gathered around, I intruded the office of the priest and offered a sacrifice. Saul, oh man, we got some Bible students here today. All right, Saul got impatient. He got impatient. He didn't want to wait for Samuel, and he went and did something that he was not supposed to do, and it cost him very dearly. When Jesus rose from the dead, we wanted him to restore the kingdom of Israel right now. Who was that? The disciples. The disciples, right? Remember they said, Lord, are you going to restore the kingdom to us? When? In the future? Down the road? No, we want it when? Right now. Right now. I was very busy serving Jesus, serving when Jesus came to my house. I had very little patience with my sister who sat and listened to Jesus teach while I worked. Martha, amen. She was very impatient with her sister, right? She ran out of all patience with her sister, all right? When my husband lost everything, my patience was exhausted, and I told him to curse God and die. Job's wife. All right. Job's wife. God used me in many ways throughout the New Testament, but my patience wore thin when a young man departed while we were serving on the mission field. Paul. All right, you guys are good. So a lot of you got passed the impatience, the biblical impatience test this morning. And so since you passed that test, let me throw this prayer out at you. Is there a prayer? There you go. All right, is this your prayer? Oh, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. And this is what a lot of people are looking for. They're looking for patience, but they need it right now. So if you go back to the other one, as we think about examples of people who need patience, examples of people who need patience, maybe you fall into one of these categories today. And this message is for you. And maybe you know somebody that you can share this message with who's dealing with these situations, and they need to have patience. Maybe you are a person experiencing an illness. If you're going through a time of sickness, a time of suffering, you know, it's very, and we hear the expression all the time, sick and tired of being sick and tired. And sometimes when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that means that your patience begins to wear thin and that you no longer, and we're going to see as we move through our passage today that this is very significant, that you have patience in the midst of whatever you go through. Maybe you're a parent dealing with small children. You know, then you need a lot of patience. You need a lot of patience. I heard about a teacher who, that when it was raining one day and the kids had their rain boots, and she had 32 students, and she had to put all their rain boots on. And so she got all 32, and she got down to the last one, and she struggled. And she struggled with this last little boy to put his boots on. And it took her a couple minutes to get them on. But when she finally got them on, the little boy said, "These are not my boots." And so she struggled to take them off. And when she got them off, the little boy said, "Well, these are my other brother boots. And my mother let me wear them today." So how many people know you need patience? You know, I mean, that's something right there that will wear your patience out. Okay, it'll take you to another level. See, a lot of times, the third thing, we get impatient when we run into another saint that's in sin. And, you know, we want them to come out of it. You know, we want them to break out of that sin. And sometimes, you know, we can find ourselves being impatient with that individual because they are doing things, and it seems like over and over and over and over again, and we're wondering, when are you going to get it? You know, when are you going to? And again, that's a legitimate thought. That's a legitimate question. When are you going to get it? But sometimes we have to ask ourselves, is God working on my patience through this individual? You know, I find that a lot of times God will send people into our lives to teach us patience. I know one that I deal with just standing in line, and especially, you know, the other day I was standing in line, and there was a person in front of me, and they was going through all kind of changes, you know, the price check, and then, you know, they had a little wallet with change in it, and I'm standing there, I said, "Oh, good Lord." And I realized that, you know, God is working on me, that God is trying to work patience in my life. Here goes one right here. If you're acting as a caregiver for another person, how many know that if you're acting as a caregiver, you really need patience? Because sometimes, the person that's sick, you know, they will put you through some changes. And so you need to have patience. Somebody that's waiting for a job that, I know... And I share this testimony all the time. When I came to Bethany, you know, I preached in I think it was September, and I came back and I preached again in December, and it got to be about January, February, and I was just thinking, man, you know, and I had opportunity to be a football coach in the Midwest. I had an invitation to go and be the president of a Bible college in Indiana. And as I waited for Bethany, I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And sometimes I wanted to do like Marvin Gaye said, make you want to holler and just throw up both your hands. But I was patient. I was patient. And then I finally, I believe it was in April, that Deacon Garrick Wiley, who was here at the time, he was the chairman of the deacon board, that he called and he said, Pastor, that you have been selected as the next pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. And I started that next July. So it was something that you know, patient, waiting patient until what I felt that God had put on my heart, that you had to wait and see it into completion. How many people know that if you're on a diet, you need patience? Let me say, you need something before patience. You need discipline, all right? You need discipline and you need patience, all right? The employee that has been wronged by an employer or another coworker, and you want to take revenge, you need patience. Oh, somebody said, woo. You need patience. And then if you're driving behind a person that's operating a slow vehicle. And I was going up Frankstown one day, and I was driving. There were some people in front of me, and I was like, come on, man, come on, come on, hurry up, come on, hurry up. And I was pushing right behind them. And then I started to pass them, and I saw that it was two ladies who had just come from Bethany Baptist Church. I said... How many people know that? Even the pastor, they need to have patience. You need to have patience. So what is patience? And you know, I just went and I pulled up a couple definitions, and I just want us to let this soak in our spirit. Okay, I you know, as I was putting these together, I said, well, you know, I could just have one definition. But let these soak in your spirit, okay? Let them just saturate down to the bone. Let them simmer. The first one, patience is the capacity to accept or tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting angry or upset. Do you have patience? Do you have patience? Just let that, don't look at the other one right now. Just let that one settle in. Let that one settle in. The second one, the ability to remain calm when dealing with a difficult or annoying situation, task, or person. Let that one settle in. That's the definition of patience. That's the definition of patience. Third one, the ability or willingness to suppress restlessness or annoyance when confronted with delay. That's patience. But then I saw one that really spoke to my heart, and that is patience is the willingness to respond to irritating circumstances with love, grace, and kindness. Let me go back and read that again. Is the willingness to respond to irritating circumstances with love, grace, and kindness as you wait on the Lord to guide you in how to handle a situation. So hopefully this gives us some idea of what patience is. Now, you know, as we move through, we're going to look at some biblical definitions of patience too. But these are some of the definitions that I found in the dictionary. All right. So as we think about patience and we get into James chapter 5, we see that James is encouraging believers who are going through suffering, that they are going through a time of being harassed, that they are going through a time of suffering, and James says to them to be patient and to hold on because the Lord is coming. Be patient. That when you're going through this suffering, that when you're going through this time when you're receiving opposition, that when you're going through this time when it seems like your life is being bombarded, whether it's with circumstances or people, that hold on. James is saying, hold on. Deliverance is coming. Hold on. The Lord is coming. And so as we look at verse 7, we see the exhortation of patience. The exhortation to be patient. Look what he says at the beginning of verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. So James says to his readers to be patient. Now, the word patient, and so here's where we get into the biblical meaning and definition of patience. You have it in your notes there, but it comes from the Greek word makrothumeo, and what it means is to take a long time before you reach your boiling point. And in other words, that before you lose it, that before you go off on somebody up in here, before you do something that's out of character, before you find yourself in a situation that you don't want to be in, he says that you have to have patience, makrothumeo. Let it be a long time before you reach that point. And so when people are around you and they're getting on your last nerve and you just want to go off on them, that somewhere inside that you have to have this patience, this makrothumeo that helps you to be able to just maintain your cool before you reach the boiling point. And so James says, be patient. Be patient, brothers. And notice what he says, unto the coming of the Lord. And so there's actually two meanings that can be taken from this. One aspect, the coming of the Lord, is when Jesus comes back personally. And so some commentators would look at that and say, well, you know, you just got to hang in there till Jesus comes back or you go home to be with the Lord. And you know, and that can be true and that might be true. But you know what I believe that is also implied in this is that whatever situation that you're in, hang on, because deliverance is on the way. The deliverance is on the way. Now, it might not mean that the Lord delivers you out of the situation. It means that he might get in the situation with you and that he might help you in the midst of the situation. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Lord didn't take them out of the furnace, but there was a fourth man in the furnace, like the Son of God. And so he strengthened them in the midst of the fire. And so sometimes deliverance will come in the form of the Lord taking us out of that situation. And sometimes deliverance will come with the Lord walking through us, walking with us through that situation. But we have to have patience. We have to have this ability to stay cool, to stay calm, to stay collected, to not reach that boiling point, to not reach that point where we boil over and spill out. He says, be patient. So we have the exhortation to be patient. And after we look at the exhortation to be patient, he gives us an example of patience. An example. Look at verse 7 again. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. I love this. I love this. And many of you who are gardeners, you understand what this means. Behold, the farmer waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. and hath long patience for it, until he received the early and the latter rain. Notice what it says, that the farmer waits for the precious fruit. The farmer goes out and he plants the seed. And when he puts the seed in the ground, there's nothing else that he can do as far as that seed is concerned. Now, he can continue to cultivate, and he can do some other things, but as far as that seed is concerned, it's in the ground, and the only thing the farmer can do is just wait for nature to take its course. And so he tells us that whatever we're going through, that sometimes we just have to be like the farmer, and we just have to wait. But see, many of us, what do we want to do? We want to get down there, and we want to talk to the seed. All right, come on, seed. Come on, seed. And then some of us are like little kids. What do we want to do? We want to dig it up to see if what's going on. Right? And so, you know, we get in the way, and we mess things up. But the farmer waits patiently. And notice the early rain and the latter rain. And there was like 7 months between the early rain and the latter rain. And so they needed the early rain to saturate the ground. But that latter rain came, and that's when the crop began to spring up and began to be fruitful. And you know, sometimes it might seem that this is taking forever. I shared my testimony before when I was dealing with the situation with my leg. And I dealt with this thing for off and on over a 3-year period. And I remember one evening right here in this room, the leaders called a prayer meeting. And this is when I wasn't even coming to church. And they called a prayer meeting, and I came out with my little IV pole and everything else. And we back in the back, we prayed. And we prayed back there, and nothing happened. I didn't get better. People came and they were anointing my body, anointing my leg, and they were praying over me, and nothing happened. And I'm sitting there saying, wow, Lord, this is taking, what's going on, Lord? This is taking forever. When are you going to heal me, Lord? When are you going to touch me? The farmer plants the seed, and there's nothing through impatience that the farmer can do to make that crop come up and yield fruit. And so when you're going through, it might seem like 7 months, it might seem like 7 years, but the Bible says you need to have patience. That when you're dealing with somebody that you got to deal with every day and be confronted every day, the Lord says you got to have patience. When you're dealing with children that you're praying for, that the Lord would touch their heart, and that the Lord would do a miraculous work in their life, that you got to just 7 months. And I'm saying that 7 months figuratively. I'm not saying literally. The former and the latter rain. And the farmer just waits. He just waits for the Lord to do his thing. And so we got a beautiful example in the farmer of waiting for the Lord to do his thing. And so we see the exhortation to patience. We see an example of patience. And the third thing is, what should be your existence?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Hold On, I'm Coming. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Hold On, I'm Coming, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Hold On, I'm Coming. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Hold On, I'm Coming. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.